So, if you remember, last week when we talked about the tower, those of you who weren't here, the dream was about a tower. If you didn't read the devotional, the tower filled. It was wider than the doorway. It went to the peak. And there was no way to get it in unless you built it in, and then the building went around it, and there was no way to get it out because didn't seem like there was any way to deconstruct it. And so there it was, and it was obvious. And you couldn't come into the sanctuary without going through the tower. And so in the dream, I was having to work hard at figuring this out. I thought, what are the folks going to think? We got this thing, and it's kind of in the way, and it's kind of obvious, and it's kind of there. And then when I woke up, that was all the further I was trying to figure out how to get in here. This is the strangest kind of damage that anybody could do. I'm not sure there's damage. And when I went to the Lord and sat down with the Lord, first thing that he said, that it was the presence of God. It represented the presence of God. The presence of God's big. Huge, he said to us today. We can be sure of him. That's something that, we're Christians, we're supposed to know that. But you know what? Sometimes we're not sure. And sometimes we don't think God is so obvious. Yesterday I visited one of the gals in Hughes County, and she had been crying when I was there before, and she wanted me to come and visit. And so the Lord just gave me some wisdom for her, but basically she wasn't so sure that God was obviously for her, even though she'd been saying that God was for her for a long time. And part of that was just based on some misinformation. When her son died, that somebody told her God took her son. I said, God doesn't take children. He doesn't take your son. Your son may have died, but God doesn't do it. God's not a thief. But it's not always obvious to us about God. Even in the body of Christ, there are different ideas about what's obviously God and what God will obviously do. And two people who love the Lord can look at the same thing, and one will say, oh man, God was huge there, and the other one say, don't be so crazy about that. And so we have to keep seeking God, and we find out. If we don't just reject the idea, we can find out. And if somebody else can see something that is so huge from God and I can't see it, my response needs to be, God, show it to me. Nah, they're crazy. And if somebody can't see it when I can see it, my response needs to be, oh Lord, show it to them. Not, you're too dumb to breathe. Because it's just not always obvious. But in this case, the tower was obvious. Nobody was going to be able to walk in without seeing. The thing is that people could stop and not come in. Or people could even be in and become annoyed by something like that in the room. Hard to imagine, but some people are annoyed by the presence of God. Bothersome. Can you imagine that? Yeah, you can. You take some of the revivals that have gone on, and some people's responses to the presence of God, and people have written books about why that couldn't be godly. Why couldn't it be? Why couldn't somebody get so excited about God that they roar like a lion? Why couldn't they? Just because they don't fit your box or my box. I can imagine it. I can imagine it. Hey, we roar in response to a lot of things, don't we? Why couldn't we roar in response to God? We can roar in response to somebody driving bad. We can roar in response to somebody saying something we don't like or doing something. We can roar about that, can't we? And go on and on and on about it. can't we? But we shouldn't go on and on and on about the presence of God. My goodness, he said he's huge. That's huge. I mean, we should know that, right? He's so huge, and yet he can fit in our hearts. There's a lot that we don't know, a lot that we don't understand. But the more we want to understand God, the more we can understand that God don't fit a box. God's presence wasn't limited by the size of the doorway. The whole thing was is that it filled so that it couldn't get out, and it was clear to the beat, you couldn't get it out. I'm going to guess it was titanium and you couldn't cut it. I don't know. That part I never figured out. I just remember that, man, I was, my biggest labor in that whole dream was, what am I going to do with this? And how do I get it in here? And it won't go out. And I, you know, but there was nothing, there was no spiritual revelation while I was still sleeping. It was when I woke up, confused, that I was that involved in a dream and could not figure out what it was about. But God was so good. So good. And then he led me to Acts, to the third chapter. And the story, as you know, is the Jewish leaders came, and they were upset. Verse 2 says, they were upset because of what Peter and John were teaching the people by telling people about Jesus. The apostles were teaching the people will rise from death. And the Jewish leaders arrested Peter and John and put them in jail. It was already night, so they kept them in jail until the next day. But many of the people who heard believed. And, you know, what they're mad about is because there's been a miracle and everybody's listening. And, you know, when that crippled man was healed, they got a real audience. People listening. Were they listening because they wanted a bunch of truth, or were they listening because they wanted to be next for the miracle? Who knows, you know? But we should be that way. I want to be next for the miracle. Why not me for a miracle? Why not a miracle for me? Why not a miracle for everybody around me? Why not? Not a bad way to live, expecting miracles. Yesterday I went to one of the sections of the prison, and the people who invited me in, this guy, I didn't even know this, introduced me as a person that introduced him to worship. I didn't know that I introduced him to worship. He was the sound guy at a whole 24-hour worship thing, and I got to do a couple hours of the worship, and he thought that I was a tiny bit radical, and he said he introduced me to worship, to be a worshiper. Anyway, after we got out and we're in the parking lot, and he's crawling around looking under his car, and I said, what are you doing? He said, well, I lost the key to my four-wheeler last night when we were here, and I'm looking for it. And I said, let me tell you a story. We were listening to Bill Johnson talk about I want my knife back. And I told him the story about that, and I told him about how God put mine back in the chair. Now, people can say he didn't, but I know he did. Because it would have been sitting in my chair, it would have been down in the cracks. And if it had been sitting in my chair, then when I tipped the chair over, shook it upside down, dug down and everything, I found it. But no, I sat down and it was sitting there. So I told him the story, and he said, well, then I want my key back. By the time I got home from Pier, I had an email from his wife that said he got out of his car, and there was his key right between the seat and the armrest in his vehicle. Now, he had already searched his vehicle high and low. You know, now, to those of us who believe, we will sit and say, yeah, why not? To those that are skeptical, they'll say, yeah, I don't know, I've lost things I never found. Have you said, Lord, I want my life back? You know, have you been radical enough to do it the way that God says to do it? Or do you prefer to say, what's that doing in this place? God this and God that, God this and God that. Yeah, that's the kind of guy I am. Because I think he responds to God this and God that. I think he dares us to try to get ahead of him in depending on him and being confident in him. Because we can't. He'll run right past us and get in front of us and make it better. But we've got to be sure of that. And so no matter what we see, we're sure God's ahead. And that God cares. And that God is huge. And that God is able. And that's what we have to say when our minds are saying no way, our mouths are saying yes way, by the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart. Say to this mountain, the Bible says, well, sometimes that seems obvious and sometimes it doesn't. But the elephant in the room is easier to see for those that are looking for it. Not just ignoring it. Oh, there's no elephant in the room. Oh, I didn't feel any presence of God. What were they so excited about? Reach for it. Reach for it. Believe it. Receive it. Remember we talked about being really happy, being very glad. Being very glad because in the easy to read version of the Bible it says great blessings belong. Great blessings belong. So rejoice and be very glad because great rewards are waiting. Blessings belong, rewards are waiting. What a way to live. Living in the blessing, planning on rewards. What a great deal. And then God ties that together with Jesus saying, okay, if the flowers look so good and the birds eat so good, what do you think God will do for you? And understanding that only what we think about God can limit us when it comes to what God will do. If my children say to me, you probably won't let me, Dad, my response will be, I probably won't. Isn't that right? Now, Rachel has watched four other children grow up, and she knows how to work it. She knows how to talk. She knows what to say. Don't you? When you think about it. We all have those moments, right? Okay, so we've got these guys talking to Peter and John, telling them not to say anything. We've got Peter and John that says, okay, let's just reason this out. Do you think God wants us to listen to you or listen to him? That needs to be our response to those things. Do you think God wants me to listen to you or listen to him? Do you think God wants me to listen to my circumstances or listen to him? Let's reason together. Sometimes you need to reason with yourself. Sometimes you need to talk to yourself. It isn't going to kill you, okay? Sometimes you need to say to yourself, as David did, what's up with you? Yeah, amen. You know? I mean, really, sometimes we need to do that. We need to listen to ourselves and say, what in the world? We need to look in the mirror and say, what? Is that light that I see? Ooh. My countenance, am I declaring that God is huge and he's in charge, or am I declaring that gloom and misery, despair on me? Do I really believe what God says or not? Well, these guys said, you decide. So when they're talking, they say, okay, what are we going to do with these men? Everyone in Jerusalem knows about the miracle they did as a sign from God. Everybody knows the miracle they did as a sign from God. They did the miracle, they got the sign from God. It's too obvious. We can't say that it didn't happen. I think that that's what God was saying about his presence in the room being so obvious. I think that what he's saying is that he's going to begin to do things that people can't say didn't happen. You see, we will step outside, and if somebody in this body said, man, look at that sunshine, that sun that God made, we would say amen. Man, that's awesome. Now, we might not have all thought that same thing, but none of us would disagree, right? We wouldn't walk out and say, well, you know, maybe. That's no big deal. You know, we go, amen! Or at least we would acknowledge and walk toward cars, but, you know, nobody, I don't think anybody would then get in their car and say, do you really think God made the sun? No, no, it would be obvious to us, right? And if somebody, you know, were to mention the fact that we breathe, that, you know, we may not go, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, but you know, there are people that end up doing that. Thank you, Jesus, for every breath, when their breath comes very, very hard. You know? But we don't, I mean, you know, you haven't, since you sat down here and we were singing and we were worshiping, whatever, you know, you didn't probably, nobody said, wow, my God, I can breathe. But if somebody said, you should be thankful for every breath you take, you'd say, you know, that's right. Every breath I take. You know, I mean, we would recognize that, okay? But there's a lot of people that would say that. And not see that as God being obvious. Right? This one, they said, it's obvious that it was a sign from God. I'm ready for God to get obvious. Not just to me. Because he's obvious to me. He's huge to me. And I know he's huger than I know that he is. But I am ready for God to get so obvious that people can still reject it, but they can't deny it. I'm ready for it not to be confusing, where you've got some people saying that God's judging the world, and, you know, he'd be right to do it. My problem is that if God judged the world, he'd do a lot more damage. And that's just my thinking. Because he's huger than I can think. You know? And when God judges, he wouldn't have to use airplanes. He wouldn't have to. I'm not saying that it's not possible. Okay? But it's still debatable. I'm waiting for God to do the undebatable. Where people have to look and have to say, I know it's God, I don't care, I don't want it. Fine. That's our privilege. But I believe that God will get that obvious so that people will have to acknowledge, this is a miracle from God. And that's what I want. That's what the disciples did. They went and they prayed and they said, okay, Master, you're the one that made the sky, the earth, the sea, and everything in the world. You made it all. They recognized he made it all. They told him, you made it all. They acknowledged that he made it all. And they said, why are they, you know, they quoted scripture. Why are the nations shouting? Why are people planning such useless things? The king of the earth prepare themselves to fight. The rulers all come together against the Lord and against his Christ. That's what actually happened when Herod and Pontius Pilate and all the other nations and the people of Israel all came together against Jesus here in Jerusalem. That's what happened. Acknowledging that. And then they said, okay. Lord, listen to what they're saying. They're trying to make us afraid. Help us say what you want us to say without fear. The enemy tries to make you afraid. When you want to declare faith, when it doesn't look like a great circumstance, the enemy says, better be careful about that. Don't be speaking of things that are not as though they are. What we have to do is get obvious in our belief that God is huge. And then we don't know everything. I don't know everything, but I know him a little bit. And I believe that he wants to reveal himself more than I want to see him. You know, I can imagine a lot of things, but I was thinking this morning, I don't sit and imagine walking around with Jesus. Because that's too huge for my mind right at this point in time. I say I want to walk through a hospital and every single person get healed. But I don't sit around and go, oh, it's time for a trip to the hospital. I don't imagine. So maybe I better start. But you know, those are not the things. If we're imagining something, we usually aren't imagining something like that. We're imagining things falling apart. We're imagining, you know, we're imagining that the roof's fraying and it's going to drop us in a minute, but we're hanging on for all we can, you know. We don't imagine Superman picking us up and carrying us away. We don't imagine angels just whisking us out of a problem. We just hope something will happen, you know. I mean, and I'm not saying we ought to start doing that, but maybe we should. But, you know, the fact of the matter is that those are, I don't know why. I mean, I think about the Lord all the time, and I ask Him about miracles, but I don't imagine how I'm going to do them. I don't practice for them. I pray, but I mean, it's not like I don't sit at home. You know, last night, Michael brought up something, and I don't know why, where it came from, but he just brought it up and reminded us of how we kick the devil out of the house. Kick him out! So, but God. So they said to the Lord, help us to be brave by showing us your power. Make sick people well. Cause miraculous signs and wonders to happen by the authority of Jesus, your holy servant. And after they prayed, they were all full of the Holy Spirit. The building shook, and they continued to speak God's message without fear. God's word is obviously true to those who believe. And do you think that God, because He's so merciful and He's so gracious, and because He is so intent on His desire that nobody perish, do you think that He would be planning to become so obvious that people see, it must be from God? And if they reject, they will reject at their own peril. They won't be able to say, well, I just wasn't sure, I had mixed messages, you know. I just couldn't be sure. God is so sure of how much He loves you, and how much He loves me, and how much He loves everybody in this whole world, that I really believe that as we, by faith, expect Him to show up and show off, and make it so obvious as a tower sitting in the sanctuary that you'll trip over if you don't step over the threshold of it, and to recognize, you know, we're standing on holy ground, we're coming to praise, we're coming to worship, we're coming to honor the King. That's why we're coming, is to know Him and love Him and honor Him, and as a response from Him, receive from Him those things that He's promised. My desire is for God to get too obvious. Amen? Father, we're open to You being too obvious. And Lord, we pray with those disciples, say, okay, Lord, do it. Do it and help us to be brave and declare it. To see it first and point it out to somebody else. And then, Lord, when we point it out to them, magnify it so that they say, wow, it's obviously from God. We better do something with it. So we thank You and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord.